The House Transportation Policy and Regional Governance Committee will come to order. And may I have a motion for the minutes of the March 5th meeting, please? Representative Petersburg?
Madam Chair, I so move.
Representative Petersburg moves approval of the minutes. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails, and the minutes of March 5th, 2018 are approved. And members, we have four bills up today, and our goal is to adjourn early because we have this opportunity over at the Capitol to get a ride on the autonomous shuttle that is out in front of the Capitol. So I think all of us want to give that a try and a look-see. So that's what we're going to be doing. And our first bill today is House File 2908 with Representative Wills. So, Representative Wills, I make a motion that House File 2908 come before the committee and be re-referred to the Transportation Finance Committee. And welcome, and please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. House File 2908 is a bill to rename a bridge in my district on Highway 52, County Road 42, in honor of Warrant Officer Dennis A. Groth. And I just wanted to share a little story about Dennis and why we're renaming or looking to rename the bridge in his honor. So Dennis A. Groth was born on January 21st, 1947, to Henry and Alice Groth on the family farm in rural Rosemount, just located on Blaine Avenue, about a half mile north of County Road 42. Dennis was baptized and confirmed at St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, located at the corner of Blaine Avenue and County Road 42. He graduated from Rosemount High School in 1965. Dennis joined the Army in 1967 and became a dust-off pilot, picking up wounded soldiers and flying them to the nearest medical facility. In case you didn't know, a dust-off crew consisted of four people. There were two pilots, a medic, and a crew chief. Usually one pilot would fly while the helicopter, while the other acted as the aircraft commander. Dennis and his crew died shortly after dropping off a wounded soldier in the early morning hours of October 19, 1968, when his helicopter went down in unknown circumstances in near Sóc Trăng, Vietnam. He was only 21 years old. Dennis's brother, Jerry, contacted my office to request having the bridge on Highway 52 at County Road 42 in Rosemount named in his memory. Dennis is buried at St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church Cemetery about 1 mile west of the bridge we are hoping to have dedicated. Dennis and Jerry grew up with their family in rural Rosemount. Their nephew lives in Rosemount and still farms the family farm. And their mother is still alive living in Cannon Falls, and she is 92 years old. October 19th, 2018 will be the 50th anniversary of Dennis's death, and I ask for your support for this legislation to rename the bridge at Highway 52 and County Road 42 in his honor. And I have, since this is the Transportation Committee, I wanted to show you the bridge that we're looking at renaming. You may recall I've had legislation in the past for funding this bridge, which unfortunately we were not able to succeed in that, but last summer the bridge was reconstructed and lanes were added on 42. So you can see. So, yes, this is correct as far as the compass goes. North is up. So that's the intersection in Rosemount, the bridge that we would hopefully rename. So I'm happy to stand for any questions.
Members, are there any questions of the author? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak on behalf of the bill? Okay. All right. Seeing none, I will go ahead and renew my motion to re-refer House File 2908 to the Transportation Finance Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. The motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Wills.
Okay. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. And now, next we have Representative Hertaus, House File 2739. And welcome Representative Hertaus. Would you like to make the motion to move your bill to Transportation Finance?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and so moved.
Okay. And you have some testimony. Do you want to describe your bill, please? I see you have testifiers as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 2739 is another bill, like you just heard, commemorating a section of Highway US 12. Members, as you know, I've been very active in addressing the issues that have been on Highway 12 and the safety issues. And thankfully, and thank you for your support, we got funding to help improve the safety of Highway 12 in the last biennium, or last session, I should say. On September 8th in 2017, at approximately 12:30 p.m., a report of debris was reported on U.S. Highway 12 and was received by the Wayzata Police Department. Shortly thereafter, Officer Bill Matthews arrived at the scene and was attempting to ensure the safety of others by removing that debris from the roadway. Unfortunately, while Officer Matthews was performing this ordinary task, improving the safety for others, he was struck by a 54-year-old impaired motorist. Shortly thereafter, he died of his injuries that were sustained. It doesn't matter that the vehicle was borrowed. It doesn't matter that the driver's privileges were revoked. What does matter is that Officer Matthews' wife, Sean, and his son, Wyatt, no longer have a husband or a dad in their lives anymore. And with that, I'd like to introduce the Wayzata Police Chief, Mr. Mike Griswold, and I also have with me today the Mayor of Wayzata, Mr. Ken Wilcox, and we'll start with Chief Griswold.
Very good. Welcome, Chief Griswold.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, my name is Mike Griswold. I'm the Police Chief for the City of Wayzata. Our local community and our police department and our law enforcement community as a whole suffered a great loss on September 8, 2017, with the tragic death of Wayzata Police Officer Bill Matthews. Bill exemplified what it meant to be a great citizen, a great husband, father, son, brother, friend, and last but certainly not least, a great police officer. He was one of the best. He connected with the community, whether he was protecting them, arresting them, or simply having a conversation with them. His life was cut short at the age of 47 at the hands of a distracted, impaired driver. Everyone within our Wayzata family has done everything possible in the last 6 months to honor the sacrifice made by Officer Matthews, the ultimate sacrifice. He responded to a routine 911 call. He was asked to clear road debris, a large, heavy piece of metal, from the center of the freeway. The road debris was a danger to motorists, and it needed to be removed, and that's what Bill was safely doing when a motorist unexpectedly veered into the lane he was in and struck him. The driver who struck Officer Matthews said she didn't see his squad's emergency lights. Witnesses all reported seeing the lights, and they all moved over from the right lane to the center. She admitted to texting and driving prior to the crash. Witnesses said they didn't see brake lights until she had struck Bill. She said after the crash, and I quote, "I just looked up, and he was there." Her subsequent blood test came back positive for cocaine. Officer Matthews, doing routine police work, didn't have a chance. I'm here today in support of this bill to further honor the ultimate sacrifice made by Officer Bill Matthews, but beyond the honor comes an opportunity to educate the motoring public about the dangers of texting and driving, distracted driving, and impaired driving. This memorial will serve as a reminder of these dangers to passing motorists every day. That's what Bill's widow Sean, his 7-year-old son Wyatt, and the men and women of the Wayzata Police Department would like to see. We would like to further honor Bill by doing something positive, something intentional, and perhaps in doing so, something that could be life-saving for someone else in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony. And on to the mayor then, Mayor Wilcox.
Good afternoon. Thank you for listening to us this afternoon. My name is Ken Wilcox, Mayor of the City of Wayzata. And I'd just like to add that Officer Matthews, as our chief said, was a terrific officer. He was also a bit of a Pied Piper. He carried candy in his squad car. He'd drive into some neighborhoods, and the kids would pour out and say, Officer Matthews, hi, and they'd give him candy, and everyone loved Officer Matthews. The reason that I really encourage you to support this bill is that, as the Chief said, I think it's an important learning opportunity to remind people, particularly on that dangerous stretch of road, that distracted driving, texting, impaired for any way, is just not what we should be doing. For this lady to say, I looked up and he was there, what do you mean you looked up? You just don't understand that kind of thing. So I think it's an important education tool. And finally, I think for me what's important, particularly in this environment where our public safety people have been a bit under the gun, it's important, I think, for us to show the right honor, respect, and thanks for our public safety personnel who put so much on the line, who risk their lives even just removing a little debris from the road. I mean, we owe them this kind of tribute, I believe. So for those three reasons, I request your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Representative Hertas, can you describe how long is the length of highway, and will there be a sign then on each end of it, and where is that?
Thank you for the question, Madam Chair. The section of highway, US 12, is about a mile that would be affected within the city limits of Wayzata. And so there'd be a sign at both ends, east and west, coming in. And I would just like to conclude that this bill really does honor Officer Matthews, and this section of U.S. Highway will be in his memory. Badge number 7221 will no longer serve us, but his service will be remembered. And so with that, members, I ask for your support, and I would renew my motion that bill move on to Transportation Finance.
Very good. I just wanted to ask, if there might be anyone else in the audience who wanted to testify. Do you know if there is?
I don't.
Apparently not.
I believe there is.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for bringing the bill. It's really a difficult thing to go through, I'm certain, for a community. So thank you so much. And so you did renew the motion. House File 2739 on its way to Transportation Finance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The bill prevails. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
And let's see. Next up is House File 2857. Is Representative Johnson here? Good afternoon, Representative.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here again.
I'll move for you House File 2857, bring it before the committee, and have it referred to the Public Safety Committee. So please go ahead and tell us about the bill.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Representative Brian Johnson. I'm bringing the 2857 forward at the request of some of the towing industry. As many of you know, I spent my career in law enforcement, and and law enforcement fought very hard to get blue lights. Why did they want the blue light? Because it's safer. It's seen better in snow. It's seen better in fog. It's safer for the officer. Back a number of years ago, tow trucks were allowed to have the blue lights. And in fact, we still have a number of them out there with blue lights on them. When 169B was established in 2012 and took effect in 2013, I believe it was inadvertently missed when that statute was made. The reason I know it was in the statute, a friend of mine who has a contract with some of the local units of government where I live and where I was a deputy, and he was a friend of mine, was asking about it. He was having a new tow truck built, and the company out of Iowa would not put blue lights on the vehicle unless we found a statute in Minnesota that allowed it. So we started digging through the statutes, and we found the statute where it says blue lights allowed, and tow trucks were tow trucks were listed in that statute. Now, this time with this bill, putting blue lights back, allowing blue lights on tow trucks again, is a little bit different. Because this time it requires the towing company to have a contract with a local unit of government or some type of unit of government. And that is intentional. Because generally, if a towing company has a contract with the unit of government, they're a very reputable towing company. And in those contracts, it lists the price for towing on the for snow removal and for other things. And I felt that it was important to have that on there to protect not only the people whose vehicles were towed, to make sure that they're not outrageously charged. But I also wanted to make sure that if the company wants to be able to put blue lights on, they work, they're going to be a reputable company. They're going to do the things they need to do to get that contract with the local unit of government, and they're going to be doing things the proper way. I generally don't do towing bills because my wife was a victim of a predatory tower. We parked our car legally, went into the restaurant, got done eating, went back to go to our car, and our car was gone. We called the company that said that they did the towing. Nope, we didn't tow your car. An hour later, we finally called them again. Oh, yeah, we do have your car. And then we had to take them to court to cover the damage they did when they dented the car. Those are the towing companies that do not want to have blue lights because it's not a reputable company. We also have the issue, and speaking with the State Patrol and Colonel Langer, they're concerned. They have some concerns on it because they don't want a tow truck just coming up behind a vehicle that's disabled with the young lady sitting in it, thinking, and she sees the blue lights, thinking it's a squad car to help her. If it is going to be blue lights, I want to make sure that it's the proper people, that it's a reputable company, and that they're going to do the right thing. I've also talked with a number of officers throughout the state about this. And generally in greater Minnesota, we don't have a lot of help at crashes. There's been many times I myself had handled a very serious crash, and if it wasn't for the tow operator blocking the road to land the helicopter, I'm not sure how we would have done that. In the metro area, it's a little different. You call for help, and you have 30 squad cars in 35 seconds. In greater Minnesota, you call for help, you might have one car in 10 minutes. But these tow operators do help us a lot. We work with them. And with that, I'm open to any questions.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify? And I don't know if committee members have questions. Representative Mason.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you go over, I guess, the lights situation again? I know red lights normally mean the police or some of the important things. I know I see yellow lights on snow plows. But it gets the blue lights.
Representative Johnson.
I don't remember seeing that often.
Right. Excuse me. Having fun with the stuff going around the earth lately. The blue lights are allowed on snow emergency vehicle, blue and amber. They're allowed on the passenger side of squad cars, ambulance, fire trucks, and emergency vehicles. Tow trucks are allowed to have, at this time, red and amber, but the reds can only be activated when they're alongside the road, actually hooking up to a vehicle for safety purposes. The reason I'm adding the blue light is because of the visibility issue to make it safer for them. We have some very good tow operators, and I don't want to see them getting injured.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did you already talk about that these, because as I understand, these
people cannot operate as an emergency vehicle, correct? You already talk about that?
Yeah,
Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, they are not emergency vehicles, but when they're alongside the road, they're acting as emergency vehicles, getting the vehicle off the roadway, removing the vehicles from crashes. They're not emergency vehicles, but they do work with the emergency vehicles. And like I say, I'm just trying to make sure the operators stay safe.
Okay, and just, Madam Chair,
Bernardi?
This is just a little bit confusing to me. I'm just wondering if it's going to be confusing to drivers that they can operate as motor vehicles, but you're saying when they're on the side of the road doing something, they can operate as an emergency vehicle. I'm just concerned that there's not a good understanding for the public and the operator on actually how this works.
Just like the snow plows or the squad cars.
Representative Johnson.
If they're parked alongside the road, they need to move over. And this is giving them an opportunity. So our lights are on. You'll see them ahead. Slow down, move over to make sure they don't get injured or hit. There might be a small child in that car as well. We don't want anybody to get hurt.
Representative Johnson, we may have someone from the department or the State Patrol that could give us a little more insight. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Lieutenant Brian Rue, Minnesota State Patrol.
Very good. Maybe you can answer the question that Representative Bernardi had.
I'll first start to clarify Representative Mason's question, Madam Chair.
Okay,
and members. The amber typically is advisory of like a warning situation, just to get people's attention that there's a hazard in the area to have people start to pay attention. The red was added to the, or is included on the tow trucks. To enhance that, to make more of a warning. Blue and red together is typically reserved for emergency vehicle services, fire trucks, ambulance, squad cars responding to an emergency situation.
Very good. Okay. Does that help, Representative Bernardi?
Well, if you could just follow up on my question. Is there any confusion in this for how people are to respond to this person or how they're supposed to act on a scene? Because I understand that they're not to operate as a emergency vehicle, but then I'm hearing that they are. So I just wanted to get clarification. Is there confusion, or is it very clear?
And was it Captain?
Lieutenant.
Lieutenant.
Madam Chair.
Right.
Lieutenant Brian Rue. Madam Chair, Representative Bernardi and members, that is potentially some part of our concern is the potential creation of confusion for the public to know, is it an emergency vehicle or not? When expanding the use of blue lights and seeing more vehicles out there with blue lights, does it somewhat deaden the impact? So that is part of the concern. The way I understand it is, as speaking with Representative Johnson on this, is they would not be driving down the road with their lights on. It'd be when they pull to the shoulder and actually engaged in towing a vehicle from the side of the road.
So Representative?
Excuse me. And that is what the statute reads now. They cannot have their red lights on while they're going down the road. They're allowed to have their ambers on once they're hooked up, but the reds are not supposed to be on.
So perhaps clarification is they're pulling off on the road now to do the work, and they then put on the blue light
that is correct.
The red. And okay. So the industry is pretty comfortable with these kinds of things? I guess they must be.
I've heard positive things from the industry on this bill.
Okay.
Madam Chair, can I just verify? So as far as Department of Public Safety, there are concerns about this. Is that accurate?
Lieutenant.
Madam Chair, Representative and members, that is correct. We do have some concerns.
Okay. Well, Representative, the bill is going to go on to the Public Safety Committee, and I'm certain that Representative Johnson will be there. And
at least I hope I'm there.
handle any of the possible confusions there. So,
sure.
Any other questions? Okay. All right. Seeing none, then I'll refer my motion to re-refer House File 2857 to the Public Safety Committee. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And we're looking for Representative Marquardt. He has House File 2347. Good afternoon, Representative Marquardt. You going to join
us
on the autonomous shuttle?
I'm sorry.
Did you hear about the autonomous shuttle? We're all going to
go
and take a ride in front of the Capitol right after committee.
This committee, Madam Chair, has all sorts of fun. I'm in taxes and, you know, it's all nose to the grindstone type of thing.
We are fun, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and I'll move your bill, Representative, House File 2347, and it will be referred to the Public Safety Committee.
Very good. So, thank you. Madam Chair and members, House File 2347, the main goal of it is to try to shorten the response time to emergencies by emergency volunteer providers. So we're talking about volunteer fire department members. We're talking about first responders. We're talking about ambulance crews. And so this came to me from a constituent, a member of the Shelley Volunteer Fire Department up in Norman County. And, of course, in a volunteer fire department, you've got everyone who is either at home or at work when a fire call comes in. And so they have to get to the fire hall. When they get enough people to be able to take the truck out, they go. So we know that every second, every minute matters when responding to emergencies. It could be a matter of life and death. And so currently, in state law, you can apply to have, if you're one of these emergency providers, you can have a red light on the front of your vehicle. There's not many of those actually issued. You have to go to the Department of Public Safety, get those, and then they issue those, although they don't issue very many. So currently what these providers will do, and by the way, it's not just to fires, but as I was talking to the constituent, he's a first responder, and so a lot of times he'll just take his personal vehicle right to a scene of a medical emergency. And so what he does right now, he just puts on the four-way flashers, the normal flashers you and I have on our cars. And so what they're trying to do, and they still have to follow all of the current, they can't speed, they can't do any of those things, but what this bill would do is allow them to have a flashing red light, which is only allowed under certain circuit school buses and other emergency vehicles, but not in this situation. And so this constituent said, well, I'm thinking that this would help kind of get people who are also on the roadway to notice and so forth. So that's what the bill is. The Minnesota Highway Patrol and Department of Public Safety was very gracious to reach out to me. They are concerned about this bill, and there are a few testifiers, but they have legitimate concerns. And my son-in-law works for the North Dakota Highway Patrol, so I certainly respect what they have to say. So they do have concerns, and like I said, and it would apply statewide, so there's a lot of volunteer fire departments in the metro area, too. And I certainly understand, you know, the concerns. You start putting red flashing lights, and they're just trying to find a way to somehow get to these emergencies quicker. And just kind of with one thing the constituent said, and I think we can all recognize this, there's just more distracted driving, and people aren't paying attention to lights around them and so forth. And this person thought this might be a way to maybe speed up time to get to these emergencies. So that's my testimony, and I know, like I said, I know the Highway Patrol has some concerns.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt.
Yeah, thank you.
I wonder if the lieutenant would be interested in coming to testify.
We make it a colonel.
Perhaps.
We're lucky we
perhaps
got a
not.
We got a
Colonel Langer's here. Okay. There we go. We've got two of you here today. Wonderful. Nice to see you, Colonel.
Madam Chair, thank you. Members, for the record, my name is Matt Langer. I have the honor and privilege of serving as the chief of the State Patrol, and I listened to the testimony, and the author was gracious to meet with our lieutenant colonel yesterday. We do have concerns with this. The concerns are centered on the continual creep of scope, whether it's blue lights or flashing lights, beyond law enforcement or emergency vehicles, and so that would be our concern with this one. There are some logistical issues as well that, as the author explained, that they can't speed, they can't violate laws anyway, so essentially you're putting a flashing red light in a vehicle that doesn't, in our opinion, serve much of a purpose other than allow others to pull over, but that, again, creates some confusion for the motoring public. So while we're sympathetic toward our first responders that do a great job at responding to scenes, it does give us some cause for concern because we take those lighting laws seriously because they mean a lot to the motoring public and the general population.
All right. Well, thank you. Are there questions? Seeing none. Oh, we have? I'm sorry. Representative Whalen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I apologize if this was addressed. So forgive me if I'm repeating a question, but just that currently a commissioner can deny, it looks like, because they need to get a permit from the commissioner of public safety. Mm-hmm. So for a red light currently, if it's whether they do a red light or we add this phrase flashing warning for the red light, could the commissioner still deny and or what grounds would they have for that? So I'm just wondering, you know, I want to apply for this red light. Could the commissioner say, well, you can have the red, but I'm not going to let you have it flashing? Would that, I don't know how that would work, but just wanted to see if there was, I don't know, middle ground here.
Representative Marquardt?
Madam Chair and Representative Wheeler, I'm sure something like that. It ultimately goes through the Department of Public Safety. So I'm sure if this was the pass, they could deny or accept kind of whatever or combination of that you mentioned.
Colonel Langer, more about that process?
Madam Chair and Representative Whelan, there's not a real threshold for us to consider. If a volunteer firefighter submits a request to get a permit to have the red light in their vehicle, we don't have a lot to go on other than they requested it. It conforms to statute. We make sure that they are indeed a member of that fire service, and then we provide the permit. And I don't want any members to confuse that with the emergency vehicle permit, which is an entirely different statute in that it does allow that vehicle to function as an emergency vehicle, which is totally separate from this issue with what is currently a steady red light, but then would move to a flashing red light.
All right. Thank you. Representative Mason.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment. I mean, normally when you see the flashing lights, it means there's a problem and you're going to pull over to the side of the road. As what I'm understanding here, they can't put on their lights till the vehicle is actually at the side of the road. But I'm thinking this could be very, very confusing as to who you're going to pay attention to and what the authority is of the person that's in the vehicle. You know, maybe. It's my personal opinion.
Is there a response?
Madam Chair, Representative Mason, you know, the whole idea, and it's very legitimate, is they're trying to find ways to get to these emergency situations, especially when they have distances to travel to, first of all, just get to the fire hall, and then you still got time to try to, you know, minimize the time of response time. And I don't know if this is the answer, and maybe this is just kind of maybe for further discussion down the road with these kind of volunteers, providers out in rural Minnesota, but also the metro area, and how we can quicken response time. And this was just, you know, one suggestion made by someone who's out in the field every day on this type of thing. And so I certainly understand the concerns, you know, so maybe there's other ways to do this.
Well, Representative, the bill is going on to Transportation Finance. I'm sorry, Public Safety. So there will be a chance to discuss that. Representative McDonald.
Yes, sir. Madam Chair, I know you want to move on. Just a quick question. Then under the bill or under the law, if this would take root, would one need to pull over if a volunteer fireman is behind you trying to get to the fire hall with the red flashing light, like they are in an emergency vehicle?
Maybe would the colonel want to go to that? Colonel Langer.
Madam Chair and Representative McDonald, we're getting right to the heart of these issues. To be honest, it's confusing for those of us that deal with them on a daily basis, and I think if we keep it simple, that's what would occur. So if a vehicle's coming up behind me and I'm, you know, not working, or if I am working and it has a flashing red light, I'm moving over, whether that's a firefighter or a tow truck or a state trooper or an ambulance. And so I think that's the question before this committee and the legislature is at what extent do we want to expand that scope beyond the original intent of what a flashing red light is for In our opinion, as the State Patrol, it's for those emergency vehicles that have authority to operate as an emergency vehicle, have the training necessary to operate as an emergency vehicle.
Which Colonel Langer would be a trained volunteer member of the fire department, wouldn't it?
Madam Chair.
Representative Marquardt.
And members, according to the constituent, and I asked them about this, they are trained in operating emergency vehicles. And so I don't know what that all entails, if it's the standard, but yeah, he did mention they have that training too.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to mention, I see the on line 120 and 1.21 that the department maintains a database then of all volunteer firefighters and professional firefighters, apparently, because it says that when one ceases operation, they must notify the department when they are no longer serving. So, I mean, that's got to be a pretty sizable database with a lot of activity going on. But, anyway, Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one last comment on this. I can see the validity to the and the importance of the bill, and I understand the state troopers' concerns. My studio is two doors down from the fire hall in Delano, and so when there's a fire, the firemen drive past quite quickly. So I know who's a fireman in a small town. You know, you Representative Marquardt, you know that. So I do see the importance of something like this because. Have them drive by the street, they go right through the stop sign, and sometimes there are cars that don't get out of the way, and it simply prohibits the amount of time that the firemen can get to the fire barn. Fire hall. They don't like it to call it a barn anymore. So there's some merit here, and there's an opportunity for some safety, but then if everybody has a flashing light, tow trucks, fire trucks, police cars, volunteers trying to get to the place, we're going to have a carnival on our streets, so... There is some concern there as well, I can imagine. But just wanted to voice that, and I'm sure it's something to be considering.
Okay. Well, thank you, and I appreciate you bringing the bill, Representative Marquardt. I'll renew my motion to re-refer House File 2347 to the Public Safety Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to vote no.
Oh, okay. I said all opposed, didn't I? Did I not say opposed?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
so noted. Representative Bernardi.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. This is pretty simple, but I just noticed it, and I'm sorry I didn't notice it earlier. On the minutes, there is some contradicting information that I'm just wondering if you want to reconsider and correct. It has Representative Nolan as being present and Representative Nolan as being excused. And I believe he wasn't here that day, so you might, want to fix that. Yeah, it's simple, but.
Thank you, Representative Bernardi. So maybe we'll just take another. Want to take a vote on that?
No,
reconsider.
What?
Reconsider. Just reconsider.
Okay, we're going to move to reconsider the minutes of February 28th. March 5th, with that correction. So all in favor of the corrected minutes of March 5th, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved.
Mine or this? Mine doesn't
have. Okay. You weren't in two places. All right. We will then move for adjournment, and we'll move on to the state capitol if you're going to take the ride on the autonomous shuttle. Right? Is that where we are meeting? And